Want to get the most out of the tread on your tires? Burt Brothers is offering a free alignment check and $20 off any oil change. Book your next service online today or stop by any Burt Brothers location near you and let them get your car ready for the adventure ahead. Burt Brothers, complete auto care done better.
It's the Utes and the Ducks in a huge Pac-12 showdown. You're listening to an extended edition of the Ute Pregame Show, presented by the Utah FTW 360 app. For all the latest on the Utes, download the app today. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I think it's a combination of things, right? But it starts with execution, right? And it's staying on schedule. You know, they do a good job of knocking people out of rhythm, right? And it doesn't mean that you have to run it on first or run it on second down, but it means it's good to have balance so they can't necessarily tee off on you. But when you create second and long, third and long, you know, they get stronger and they get better. So more than anything, probably staying on schedule and finding opportunities to move the ball down the field.
Welcome back to your extended Ute pregame show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. I'm Jay Catch, joined by my typical Saturday show co-host, Michelle. We'll be entering the second hour of the Saturday show typically right now. Michelle, what's up?
You know, just busy.
Yeah.
Goodness.
You've been going since the wee hours of this morning.
And yeah. I was here bright and early yesterday to do Pat McAfee and the talking with the talent and... Yeah. So it's been a couple of long days here up on the hill.
When game day comes to town, you got a lot of stuff going on. Let's put it that way.
Totally.
By the way, the footwear, loving it, by the way.
Thank you.
What brand are those? Those are awesome, by the way.
They are Uggs.
Okay, I like it.
They are Uggs.
It's a good look.
Yeah, they're kind of sneaker boots.
Yeah, good look.
I wish I could say that they kept my they probably kept my feet warmer than they would have been if I'd been wearing regular sneakers, but my feet were still not warm enough.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Well, hey, it's been – let's put it this way. I was wearing shorts 3 days ago, folks, and suddenly I'm wearing like four layers out here. So, nonetheless, I hope you guys all stop by. Of course, our extended Ute pregame show is brought to you by the Utah FTW 360 app. Follow For the Win 360 on Instagram and download the Utah FTW 360 app during our show this morning for your chance to win a signed Utah football. Swing by the broadcast. We are here outside Roland Hall at 720 Guardsman Way. And show us you follow For the Win 360 on Instagram or download the app. You can score additional swag. Get some really, really cool custom T-shirts we had made up for this extended pregame. So stop on by. Love to see you guys. We've got some coffee here. If you guys want to stop by and pick that up, you can do it on your way over to the stadium. All right, Michelle. So I want to ask you first off. So you were here for Pat McAfee's show. Mm-hmm. You saw Kyle Whittingham rolling on the Harley yesterday. By the way, I loved it. I thought it was the coolest thing. I'm like, Kyle got the memo. He knew what he was doing with that. It was awesome.
He definitely got the assignment.
Yeah.
definitely got that. Yeah, no. I think it's been really cool. I mean, I've covered this team for 10 years now, which mm-hmm. blows my mind. But to see Witt's evolution over those 10 years
sure.
and him kind of chill out just a little bit and have some fun with it.
Yeah.
And I think that comes with, I mean, when I first started covering this team, mm-hmm. they were 3 years into the being in the Pac-12,
sure.
They still had a lot of work mm-hmm. to do, a lot of boxes to check off in order to get where they kind of needed to be. And that causes a high stress situation,
it
you
does,
know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know that Witt was really able to enjoy those years, but I don't know, from about 2019 on, maybe 2018 on, it just really seems like he's loosened up.
He has.
And he's been having a blast with it. And this Pat McAfee thing, you know, rolling up on the Harley with the cutoff sweats. I mean, backwards ball cap, sunglasses.
Yeah.
You know, I think is the epitome of his evolution and what he's become as the head coach here.
Yeah, that you're right. 10 years ago, Kyle Whittingham would not have done that.
He would have never.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, yeah, you're right. He has embraced more of being like the personable side of himself in the last little bit. But it's fun to see, and that's the fun part about this is a huge. Like focus on what Utah is doing here, because McAfee's here. You've got game day here. You mentioned you talked. Who did you talk to yesterday? Was it was Chris Fowler? Who was talking to you?
No,
it wasn't Fowler. No, it was
Reese Davis and Desmond Howard.
But you have all those talking heads. I don't mean that sound derogatory, but mm-hmm. they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fun part. Is the focus on the University of Utah is at an all-time high, and it's awesome for the university. It's awesome for the football program, and then it lends itself to what is an absolutely titanic clash today in terms of the overall football game.
Yeah, I mean, this game's huge, and it kind of always was going to be huge. It looked like maybe for a minute it wasn't going to be so huge, but Utah figured it out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a cool thing, you know, having game day around for a season and a year where Utah's had to figure things out.
Sure.
And show kind of what they do on a week-to-week basis, you know, coaching and, mm-hmm. and getting guys up and ready and prepared and the next man up mentality and all that kind of, like, I mean, you could not ask for a bigger stage to present that on. I think it just, it really, really, the timing worked out great.
Yeah.
And I think Utah has to be happy with all the publicity they're
sure.
getting.
Well, and if they, let's put it, if they're not, they need to change their tune real quick.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right, we got some guy sitting down who happened to wander in, you know. He's
just wandered in off the street.
You know, just decided to come on by. He's the one, the only, Patrick Kinahan. PK, what is up?
Yeah, I don't – am I on? Get me on.
You're on.
I come all the way here not to be on.
You're good. How are you, sir?
Good. I don't sit on game day. I stand.
Okay. See, this is okay. This is the Kyle Whittingham thing.
Yeah.
It's like
me and
Captain Neck Roll.
Captain Neck Roll.
I told him yesterday it was clear he spent all morning working on arms.
Well, he did. The triceps looked incredible.
I let him know.
I saw your tweet. Said you worked out arms together.
Like, yeah. You know. We may have exchanged some communication a few times during yesterday and having fun with it. What a BA, huh?
Well, we were just talking about that. Like Michelle talked about, like, maybe even 10 years ago, there's no chance Kyle Whittingham would have rolled up on a Harley and in a cutoff sweatshirt.
Yeah, that was just awesome. I mean, yeah. He knocked it out of the park. This guy, wow. And I've said this many times. You know, I've known him for 30-plus years, longer than you guys have been alive. And
not quite, but okay.
Yeah, not quite, but okay.
Ballpark. he used to just breathe fire if anybody said anything. I mean, many times he'd call me. I said, let it go, dude. Let it go. I said, here's the deal. Here's how you handle the media. You treat them nice. They'll love you. I said, and if you lose, there's nothing they can do for you. And if you win, there's nothing they can do to you. And he's winning, and he's got the program, and the media just loves him. The national media, you guys are local media, so you know all about it. But the national folks coming on like he did, and with that Harley and the cutoff sleeves and all that, and he laughed it up, he played it up. Talking to him later, you know, I can't say all that he said, but he just handled it so well. Fans love that stuff, man. Now you got to win,
correct?
You have to win, and if you win and you do that stuff, you're basically untouchable.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he turned 64 in 3 weeks, and so he's not going anywhere. And nobody's going to do anything to him, man. He can coach this thing as long as he wants. And why not? You got it rolling. I said yesterday, that, boy, if they beat the Ducks today and go up to Seattle and win, they'll probably win the other games. This would be the most phenomenal job that I've ever seen coaching.
Sure.
Yeah. He'll be the National Coach of the Year. Start pouring the concrete for the statue, you know what I mean? Which now has to be. I don't think we can go entirely bare-chested, but I think the statue.
We go with the cutoffs?
Yeah.
Okay.
The statue has to have the sleeves.
Accentuate the arms.
Yeah.
Well, and the shorts, because, you know, the calves are also a thing.
Yeah, I was going to say,
the shorts.
Everybody knew about the calves. They knew about the calves since 2005 when he took over as head coach.
Yeah.
The arms were the revelation yesterday with the cutoffs. So.
Yeah.
Welcome to the gun show.
Maybe bare-chested on the statue, first ever.
I guess we'll see. But that's the thing about this is, PK, you mentioned you have to win, obviously. And that's the thing about this. But that's the winning part of it. That's why game day's here. That's why all this attention is here on this program. And we had DJ stop by earlier this morning, and he talked about the fact he's like, he feels like, okay, whoever wins this game's probably got an 80% chance of being in Las Vegas for that Pac-12 title game, where the other one, you're not out of it, but he says it drops by maybe about 20%. You got to have some things happen.
You know, today or tonight,
sure,
when the game's over, I'd agree with that. But we all saw last year.
Yeah,
I was going to say they
also that
we brought that up. We're like, well, here's the thing: they needed some things to happen last year, and what happened? Everything needed. Yeah.
Michelle and I were walking off the field last year in Eugene, and okay, that was a nice run last year, and now what bowl is it going to be? None of us thought. Nobody thought. We're sitting in that tent after the game. We thought this isn't happening, and sure enough, that what, Saturday after Thanksgiving?
Following week, yeah.
It was like one,
you need like
two,
six different things
three.
To happen, yeah.
How do you get a kid from Oregon to drop the snap on a punt on his goal line? That was like Woody Ham's best move ever.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Yeah.
How did that happen? How did that happen? There's no way that that happens, and yet it did.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, they're in Vegas the following week, and we know what happened. So tonight, I agree with what DJ's saying, but we've been around this conference. I've been around it. Okay, I've been around this conference longer than you guys have been alive. Yeah,
yes.
You got me
yes,
there.
I'll give you that one.
But
yes.
You guys have been around it now for over a decade. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Washington needs a pick six virtually at the goal line
correct.
Last week
yes.
to win that game uh-huh. against a team that's winless. Yeah. So I don't know. I can see the premise, uh-huh. but I would not put a penny on it. But certainly the win this today really bolsters your chances. But everybody's got tough games left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do.
Everybody.
They do.
All the
they
contenders
do.
Have tough games left. What? That's November. And we've talked about this. It's such a shame that the conference is going away mm-hmm. because November in the 13-year history, I think it is, of the Pac-12, this literally has the opportunity, and I think, and you guys will agree, has the good possibility of being the craziest and best month and most wildest final month that we've ever had since Utes and Colorado came in the conference.
Could be.
I have a hard time disagreeing with you on that. Cause just with, and you mentioned the term contenders. What do we have, 5-6 teams that are still in the race?
I mean, you have to consider USC still in.
Yes.
They only got one loss.
Yeah.
And
yep.
We're going to consider Utah and Oregon
correct.
With one loss.
Yeah.
We have to consider USC and Oregon State.
Yep. Oregon State.
You know, Oregon State's got a huge game tonight, late night TV,
yes.
Down in the desert in Tucson. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this yesterday. If the Utes, what do you want? You want them to who do you want to win? Because it's like good news, bad news, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
True.
You know, Oregon State gets the loss. Well, now you got to go to Tucson in 3 weeks, and they're going to be riding high at that point, thinking that they can beat the world if they win tonight. You know what I mean? So I don't know. From the Ute perspective, I don't know what I want to see happen. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking for the Utes, just worry about yourself and win.
Totally.
And then see what happens each week.
Well, and that's the Kyle Whittingham method anyway. It's one game at a time, 1-0 every week. So.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Kyle Whittingham's all about control the controllables. And what can you control? You winning or losing. You can't handle the other stuff. Like that's outside of your control.
Yeah, we know no matter what happens tonight down in the desert, Whittingham will be in the weight room tomorrow morning.
Well,
yes. I won't.
The question
I'll be
is
sleeping.
The question is it buys or tries tomorrow?
Yeah, did you get here at 5 or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, so Michelle's been grinding all morning.
I was thinking about you, thinking, wow, she's got to get there.
What an idiot. That's what you were thinking.
Like 3 hours before the sun comes up.
Oh, yeah. I turned it on this morning when I was getting ready to come up here, and I'm like, that is an incredible crowd, by the way. The game day crowd was awesome.
I turned it on 7:30.
Yeah, but by my second thought, I was like, I wonder if Michelle had to get up there.
Yep.
It's like 5 a.m., right?
Yep.
Something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought, oh, that woman's going to sleep well tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And she did the McAfee thing yesterday. So
that stuff.
So
yeah.
It's been fun stuff.
It is fun stuff.
I mentioned this right before you got here, BK. That stuff doesn't happen for any team. It's a benefit to the Utah Utes, the fact that they've come about and just they've had an excellent product for so many years. That's why game day is like, you know what, we're going to Salt Lake City, we're going to put this
game they know
in.
What they're getting.
Yeah,
and it's not like it's different,
no,
but it's a little different,
sure,
because the Utes are still building, but they're not one of the exclusive blue bloods, I should say, as I spit it out. But they're on the cusp. They're a national program. And so game day knows what they're getting because they've been here a number of years. What's game day been going on? 37 years?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, longer than you guys been alive.
Longer than I've been alive.
I'm 36, so if it's 37, yes, it predates me.
Somebody said this was the 37th year.
It wouldn't surprise me, yeah.
So they know what they're getting, and you got to have two things. You get them to come out. You got to have a winning program. So
sure.
It's huge that they won last week, and the way they won was incredible too. And you got to make sure that there's no like top five teams playing each other.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it worked out. that, okay, these are the two highest ranked teams mm-hmm. and all, and they're going to have some buzz. Oregon has buzz, and the Utes now, they've been around long enough, and they got a story, the pig farmer kid, and, you know, on and on they can go with that.
Yep.
Yeah. So they got stories, and they know Kyle's going to just be at the top of his game, and the fans are going to be there. And it's really just exposure for the university that you literally can't purchase. You couldn't buy what they get.
Sure.
And then you got the BYU element. I was thinking about this this morning, that Yormark, okay, he's thought of as a genius. Mm-hmm. The blacktop practice, the chasing the games in Mexico, whatever. But probably the best thing to happen to this conference to date with the teams going in is that BYU and Utah are going to be in the same conference. Name me something better. Yeah. Now, it sort of conspired, and I don't know how much he directly was involved, but it happened, because this just gives this conference next year all sorts of credibility, because mm-hmm. this thing is watched, and we know what happened with the BYU yesterday and today. And, you know, the thing that drives the sport mm-hmm. is passion.
Yes.
Definitely.
Well, you got passion.
Correct.
45 miles apart uh-huh. that, you know, I've been in L.A. I worked in Arizona, and this passion here is as good as any passion that I've been around in the West. And this rival ranks with any rivalry in the West. And I believe, you know, I haven't been to a Michigan, Ohio State. I've been to those places.
Sure.
In the Cup, but I haven't seen those two games. I've been in the South, East, and all. So, but I haven't been Auburn, Alabama. I haven't been in the actual game. But I've been in the LAs. I've been in the Arizonas. And this thing is just incredible. And it's going to give them so much momentum as mm-hmm. a conference going in next year. And obviously, you know, if we can do the poll right now, Utah's going to be favored next year.
Oh, I was going to say, if they're not, I'd be floored. Let's put it that
right,
way.
So. Right.
Yeah. I mean, PK makes a great point. I've been saying it for a while. They needed to do something to replace the Red River rivalry. Say that five times fast.
Yes.
On Redwood Road.
On Redwood Road. Yeah. they needed something to come in and fill that. Utah BYU is an excellent choice. And then you have the two secondary rivalries with BYU, Utah, and TCU.
I was
going to
say.
They got
you know, on. They're
well, and apparently with Spitgate, BYU and Texas Tech has turned it into something.
Yeah. Already.
And then the Arizona's
territorial cup.
Playing each other, but also playing, hopefully, Utah and Colorado.
There's history by the way, that history with the WAC, that's going to reignite with them all in the same conference as well.
A lot of people from Arizona that live here.
Oh, wow.
People from here live in Arizona.
Yes.
And so those games, I would think that when both teams go down.
Correct.
Because they should, if they play each other mm-hmm. every year. One should play here, but then both BYU and Utah should play.
They alternate.
In Phoenix or Tucson. Yes. So they'll have a presence in the state every season.
Correct.
And there'll be sellouts.
Yeah, absolutely.
There'll be plenty of stuff going. I wish the Pac-12 stayed together, but it's no point complaining about it because it's done anyway. But there are stuff and things to look forward to. Mm-hmm. The teams that will leave to go to the Big 12 will go in collectively with some momentum, some higher than others. Obviously, Utah mm-hmm. will be pretty high. Especially if they take care of business today and do what they're capable of doing. In this game today, you know, I talked about this week. I don't know how you felt, Michelle, but when I was walking in the Coliseum last week, I felt like there's a really good chance the Utes are going to win. I felt very confident. Here, I'm not confident, but I'm not as confident as I was last week, which is okay because that means you got two really good teams, mm-hmm. and let's go see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I think with this game, I never thought USC was that good.
They're flawed.
I had people tell me they were soft before. We had people come on air and say that they were soft.
Mm-hmm. Matt Zemek from Trojan Wire said it on JJ and Alex.
You know, I was getting those messages in August from people that had seen what was going on. Watching the games, was not convinced. USC just does not play bully ball. They just don't. And that's mm-hmm. what Utah loves to do. And sure enough, the minute that Utah starts pushing them around, getting in their face, they kind of folded like a paper bag. And that was all she wrote. The Ducks are not built that way, though.
No.
The Ducks like to play bully ball as well. And I think, you know, Oregon is much more well-rounded simply because we've seen them be the same team week in and week out from the start of the season. Utah's had a bit of an evolution this year.
They have, no question.
I don't know how good their evolution has been. It's been good enough to get them past six teams and come up short against one. It really feels like they're finally finding their flow the past 2 weeks.
They're in a good spot.
But how does that look against a team like Oregon? Because they haven't played a team like Oregon since they played Oregon State.
Yes.
And they lost to them.
But they weren't in a good spot.
No, they were not in a good spot.
They're in a good spot now.
The bye week came at a good time for them after that Oregon State loss. They figured some things out. As you mentioned, they're in a much better spot today versus what they were 4 weeks ago.
No, they got it going on. Yeah. I mean, Vaki.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the players of the year right now.
Absolutely.
And
awesome.
Barnes is gutty enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say good enough. I'm going to say gutty enough.
There you go.
Yeah. And he has the ability to make a play. Mm-hmm. Nothing finer than that field goal drive. Yeah, it was aided by 15 yards by SC with the late hit or whatever it was.
Sure. But
he still had the guts. And the thing that I loved, and somebody talked about it during our shows this week. I can never remember because we're on the air for 20 hours. I thought the key play was after the pick six. We're out on the field. Mm-hmm. You can feel the crowd. The ground's practically shaking.
Coliseum's
like,
waking up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The momentum that they've had for three-plus quarters is going away.
Yeah.
Right? And then they kick off, and the Utes get tackled at the 10. You're thinking, oh, brother. But then the first play, I think it was Tavaki. It's like 36 yards.
Yeah.
So Ludwig said, hey, we're not going to put hold the ball.
No.
We're
going to
go. You remember down at Baylor when they Nate Johnson led them on that long drive.
Yeah.
Baylor gets the ball. They run three plays.
Correct.
And they run.
Yep.
We're afraid here.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the way it was going to be. We're going to go after these guys so they get a 36-yard gain. Well, that was like, okay, we're back.
Yeah.
We withstood it. That play, I thought, was gigantic. The fact that Ludwig called it and then they executed it. Yeah. And Barnes, the fact he had just thrown a pick six.
Yes. Yeah.
No sweat.
Yeah.
That was before. This is now.
Yep. He shrugged it off.
Yeah, we're going to go down the field, get a 36-yard gain. And I'm thinking at that point, hey, if they get a field goal, they're going to be in a really good spot. They get a touchdown, obviously, tremendous.
Sure. Yeah.
But just a field goal. And sure enough, they get it. And here we go. Mm-hmm. And I thought that play, that drive, under the circumstances, it wasn't the literal winning drive.
Yeah.
But without it, you don't have the winning drive.
Mm-hmm.
So when they take the field, I'm thinking, they've got plenty of time here. Mm-hmm. I thought Williams should have gone out at the one-yard line to burn more time.
Right.
But he danced in the end zone, and that's your natural reaction to score. I get it. But I thought, well, given the fact that they just went down and got a field goal, I feel real confident that they're going to go down and get in position. They've got enough time here, and they got their timeouts. Everything is set up for them to be able to do it. And if they should get to Vegas, I think that series could be the propeller because it gave all sorts of confidence. The coaching staff showed confidence in the pig guy.
The pig guy.
And everybody saw, okay, he's here to play. He's not just a handoffer.
Yeah.
He's QB now. Yes. He's on scholarship just like everybody else. He's not Williams. He ain't going to be first-round draft choice, but so what? That doesn't matter. He's good enough to put us in the spot that we need to be. And then that last drive was all guts by him.
Correct.
And that's why I'm calling. I'm not saying good enough. That's obvious.
He's
I'm
gutty
saying
enough.
Gutty
he's
enough.
Gutty enough.
And all right. I think it's cool to say it, too.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that description of him. I bet Bryson would probably appreciate that, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
You're talking about that singular play from Barnes to Vaki after the interception that kind of changed the momentum of the season, really.
Yeah.
Think back to 2021, that flea flicker. Also in the Coliseum, Utah gets big win, their first win in like 106 years at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
I think
longer than you've been alive.
Definitely longer than
too.
I've been alive. everybody kind of pointed to that flea flicker play as the turning point in that season. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, people. Maybe put a pin on that 36-yarder to Sione Vaki.
And the great thing about today, I don't want to say they don't have anything to lose, but they're not really supposed to win, right?
Right.
So
the line's
just,
6.5.
Just open up the playbook.
Yeah, exactly. You're playing. You're playing with house money right now.
Whatever you got,
yeah.
Let it go. Yes. Let it fly.
Yeah.
Right.
Agreed.
You got a great defense. If they should turn it over or whatever, well, you know, as long as you don't give it to them on a 2-yard line,
well,
who's to say that you can't withstand it? I'm not saying be loose and irresponsible.
Yeah.
Don't run fake punts and you're out of your own end zone. I'm not talking about that. But I expect and suspect we'll see some various plays that we haven't necessarily seen before try to get these guys off guard. Although, as I say that, if they can pound the ball with those two running backs, maybe they just beat them.
Yeah, well, we'll see. All right, we will release you two to go do your pregame duties. Head over to Rice-Eccles Stadium and look for your guys' work on KSLSports.com. We'll also, you guys will be collecting sound for us for postgame as well. But thanks to both of you for stopping by. It's good to see both of you.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's actually nice to see you in the flesh.
I know.
It's been a couple weeks.
It's been a minute. But nonetheless, we will continue on here. Alex Keery from JJ and Alex is going to join me next. And at the top of the 12 o'clock hour, we kick off the formal U pregame show. That's all ahead right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.
Getting you ready for the biggest game of the year with the Utes. This is an extended edition of the Ute Pregame Show, presented by the Utah FTW 360 app. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The amount of injuries that they've dealt with, and for him to be able to utilize defensive personnel on offense and, you know, shuffle, you know, positions and utilize offensive linemen at tight end, I think it's just really impressive. You know, everyone's always known that he's a great coach, but the way that he's been able and his staff's been able to utilize the people they have, you know, I know at the beginning of the year he spoke about the depth of his team was starting to really show up. He has good depth, but they're utilizing people in different ways than they anticipated when the year started, and he's done a great job coaching that group.
Welcome back to your extended U pregame show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Hatch live outside Roland Hall up here on Guardsman Way, 720 Guardsman Way. Love for you guys to stop by. It's got a few goodies laying around here. It's got some coffee, I think, on hand as well if you want to stop by on your way over to Rice-Eccles Stadium. Love to see you guys and say hello. Please welcome in now Alex Keery, host of JJ and Alex here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex, how are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Happy Saturday show to you. This is a fun one. My heavens.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. Obviously, we're getting ready for Utah and Oregon. I know that you'll be coming up with the Cougar pregame show here in a little bit as well as BYU gets ready to take on Texas there in Austin. But you heard Dan Lanning there coming in, Alex, by the way, and he talks about the fact that Utah's kind of absorbed all these injuries all season long and has seemingly like not missed that much of a beat. Give me your take on this. How do you think Utah's overcome everything that's kind of been thrown in their way this season?
I think Dan Lanning is a massive Kyle Whittingham fan. I mean, he said that this week, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's really what Dan Lanning is talking about. He's like, the only way that you get through this kind of stuff is having culture that gets you through it, right? And so there's a culture that's already established at the U. There is an attitude. And some of us got frustrated with that process, you know, partway through. I think even Witt got frustrated with the process of not understanding what exactly the deal was with Cam's injury and maybe even Brant Keithy's injury. But in the end, like, they have the same stuff set up every year. It's like the most boring thing ever, and it works every dang year, right? Like, he does not want anybody to really know the process. I mean, it's very kind of a well-guarded secret, kind of. In the sense that you just can't really explain it unless you've been in that program, according to the guys who've been there, you know? And so I think it's a culture thing. I think Dan Lanning goes, if there's going to be somebody that I'm going to emulate and if I want to have a long-term career, which they're setting him up to have that.
Sure.
If they can have Dan Lanning be there, Kyle Whittingham, it's at Oregon. Witt does it, you know, kind of in the behind the scenes, waiting for everybody. I think of that meme of that guy licking his chops and rubbing his hands together behind the tree. That's Kyle Whittingham, like, every year, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like, we prefer to be back here, nobody paying attention to us, and then we pounce. And it's still weird that that's the case, even though they're the two-time Pac-12 champions too. But I think Dan Lanning just loves the attitude and the toughness, and everybody wishes they had that.
Sure.
And Dan Lanning's bringing it. I think he's already done such a phenomenal job to get that culture turned around. I thought Mario Cristobal was supposed to be a tough guy, and he turns out he wasn't. And
correct.
Dan Lanning was the guy that Oregon wants, and I think they want him long, long, long term.
Yeah, it sure seems that way, and I'm with you on that. I think, yeah, Lanning's trying to kind of build Oregon in the mold of Utah, albeit with its own peculiarities, because we all know this is the University of Nike, speaking of Oregon, and having Phil Knight obviously bankrolling the whole operation. That's going to require a few other things that go with it, but you talk about the toughness factor, and it feels like these are two teams that do exude that toughness, and that's going to be a big role in this game in my mind, and I want to get your thought on this, is that it feels like this could come down to just simply which team out-toughs the others. That makes sense?
Yeah, and USC wasn't like nobody thought they were going to be tough at all. And
They
proved a little bit, but like obviously, I mean, I'll just tell you right now, that number 90 kid was, and I think the attitude of Caleb Williams after the game, mm-hmm. showed you exactly what you need to know about Lincoln Riley's team at USC. When you have such lack of discipline in one of your key guys, by the way, mm-hmm. and it extends the game, it extends drives. I mean, it's stupid. And that's taught from the top down, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing where, you know, it's one thing to be like, oh, that's a borderline, you know, did Cole Bishop get this guy or didn't he? That was not this. This was just a dope of a play, like a really, really stupid play. And then we already talked about how soft USC was. No one's having that discussion this week about Oregon because they're not,
correct.
Right? And so that's a little bit concerning because Utah was able to go in there and go, we're way tougher than you guys against USC, mm-hmm. right? And so this week you're going to see a toughness matchup that's like really, really – it's going to be, excuse me, like really amazing. And then you've got – I mean, Oregon is really good on offense and they're really good on defense. And Utah is still trying to get that offense churning. I think they feel a lot better about it now. But we had one of the beat writers from Oregon this week on there, and he goes, man, I think everybody up here wishes that we would have gotten Utah before the bye week. And
sure. I mean, I think a lot of teams do, honestly.
Right. They're going, dang it. They're starting to roll. They're starting to figure things out.
Yeah.
I really do wonder if Bryson Barnes has figured it out. I wonder if a corner was turned or if we just saw a guy kind of playing out of his mind in a one-off. Like, I'm hoping that it's the former, but could it be the latter? I don't know. I mean, it's not like we've seen – a huge body of work out of Bryson Barnes, right? And so I
correct.
Don't know if anybody needs to be totally excited like, oh, he's figured it out now. The good news is he has Sione Vaki, who I don't think anybody has figured out, and I don't think anybody necessarily could. He's so athletic.
Yeah, and that's the good point you make. Sione Vaki's been kind of the revelation of the season, it feels like, for Utah, because they needed somebody to step up, and he's done that. We've talked about this earlier on in this extended pregame show that you have in a guy like Bo Nix. This is his 56th career start, Alex. He, obviously, the COVID year helped him get to that number, versus Bryson Barnes, who's in career start number 5. And you mentioned the point that do we know if Bryson Barnes is capable of upholding the same level of play? I think today's game will go a long way towards answering that. If so, Utah is going to be in a fairly good spot, because if he can deliver against Oregon like he did to deliver against USC, that means Utah's just going to keep doing their thing. Now, if he falters a little bit, that changes the calculus.
It does. And, you know, that win at USC also gets you ready for this insane trip up to Seattle that you're going to have to end up taking too, which, again, a way tougher team than USC, way better team than USC. And so those are your real tests, and I think we kind of already knew that last week.
Yeah.
And so I think it's nice to get USC exposed, but I think the other thing is they probably weren't nearly as good as we thought they were. I mean, at that point, we knew how not good they were. We knew they were going to stumble, right? I mean,
yep.
So I don't know. I hope – I mean, that win, you don't want to take anything away from it, but this is such a different team, you guys. Like,
correct.
Such a different team. And so – I would be – I'm so nervous about this game for Utah, and there's a reason that they're home dogs. It's because other people don't believe yet that Utah's totally turned that corner. And I think they know that there's a – I mean, I don't know if there's a revenge factor, but a lot of the guys on this team, you know, some of the guys on this team were definitely there in 2021 when they got absolutely blasted. And I think they're the number 3 team in the country at that point. And they got killed, right?
Yes,
single-handedly
yes.
by in the first half by Britton Covey, it seems like. So – it's an interesting one. I don't know. I mean, obviously, last week was a good test, but this is a real litmus test.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing about this. I think everybody we've had on this morning, I think you're included, we all kind of went into that USC game looking at Utah saying, okay, this is a USC team that's flawed, they're soft. Utah should be able to just handle their business here and win that one. Oregon, as you mentioned, is just it feels like they're just another level here, and this is the kind of they're leveling up, as you mentioned, towards going to Seattle to face off against Washington. Well, this Oregon team would love nothing more than to knock you down a peg and take control of what would be maybe the inside track going to the Pac-12 title game. But it's the same thing for Utah. The same stakes are on the table. You win this game, it sure feels like you have got a leg up on the rest of the competition to make it to Las Vegas.
You remember last week against USC early. And I think Witt said it going into the half. He was mm-hmm. like, and maybe even it was one of those breaks, you know, they've been doing now with these coaches between quarters.
Sure.
And he was like, we've been giving up way too many big runs. We've given up too much on the ground. And that's not even that good of a rushing. I mean, USC is you know, they were – maybe it's because they were focusing so much on Caleb Williams or whatever it was.
Sure.
But Bucky Irving is no joke.
No.
That guy came out against Washington, and he almost single-handedly won that game for him. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like –
yeah.
And obviously everybody talks about the turnovers and how little they turn the ball over. Just make them live outside of that element a couple of times today. If Utah gets two takeaways today, I think they win the football game. Just because it'll get Oregon so far off of their game because they're just not used to it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to throw 8 picks in the season and have 18, 19 touchdowns, but 19 and 1 pick for Bo Nix, and that's the only turnover all season long for this team.
Yes.
They don't really know what it feels like, I think, to have a ball taken away, like, or, you know, in the ways that Utah does, which is devastating, right? They like to score on those takeaways too. And so I'm interested to see how they do with the turnover battle, because if they can get shaken a little bit, it's going to be in that aspect.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it is we had Sly Steven Sylvester on with us a little earlier on, and he mentioned that exact thing, Alex. He said, you have to get them off of their game. You got to make them uncomfortable. And he mentioned the same thing. He said, if you get, like, 2 turnovers, Sly was saying, yeah, Utah's going to win this football game. And it really does feel that way, because this is an Oregon team similar to Utah. They value holding on to the football. And if they do that, they typically win these football games. Now, Oregon statistically has got the more explosive offense. They're averaging north of 550 yards per game this season so far. So you have to hold them down a little. But turnovers, you and I, we've done enough Cougar pregame shows this season as well, that if you win the turnover margin in most of these college football games, you're going to win the scoreboard. You're going to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dumb cliche, right? But at the same time, it's a cliche for a reason.
Yeah, yes.
But, I mean, I don't know. I know that people are high on this whole situation. It's been really fun. I think it's been an awesome week. It's been about as good as it gets coverage-wise for us to be able to do all this stuff. But, man, this Oregon team is good. I get nervous about this game. I think Ute fans should be really nervous about this game. I don't know if the Utes win this football game, Jake. I mean, I don't know if I saw enough out of Bryson Barnes to say, oh, yeah, everything's fine now.
Well, yeah.
And he's got to play basically a perfect game, I think, to be able to do it.
And he needs Sione Vaki. He needs Jaquindon Jackson. You need to have those two running backs essentially control and dominate this game where you maybe have 40 minutes time of possession and really control it that way, because that's going to be the calculus to win this game. You want to keep Oregon's offense off the field because they're too explosive to give them extra touches.
Yeah, like I said, the running game from Oregon, I mean, they're what? Number one in offense, number three in defense, right?
Correct.
And the Utes are number two in defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they're number 11, maybe even 12 in offense.
I can't remember which
one it was.
Yeah.
I mean, so the numbers speak for themselves. And maybe you want to say, but the last couple of weeks they've scored 34 points. I mean, but, you know, we've seen bad Bryson Barnes.
Uh-huh.
And we've seen good Bryson Barnes. And I wonder, I don't think it's necessarily an alternating week thing. I just wonder if the emotion that goes into a game like that prepares you for a game like this or takes it out of you, and maybe mm-hmm. – It's hard to recreate that week to week, especially if you're just not used to doing it week to week.
Yeah, sure, and that's the thing about this is you need to see some consistency, and I think today will go a long way towards answering that question regarding the Utes and the consistency factor. Okay, Alex, I got a couple more questions for you that we'll hit real quick before we kick off the formal U pregame show with Christian Cox at the top of the hour. But want to remind you guys, today our extended pregame show is brought to you by our friends over at the Utah FTW 360 app. Follow For the Win 360 on Instagram. Download the Utah FTW 360 app during our broadcast today, and you get a chance to win a signed Utah football. Swing by the broadcast. We've got some goodies for you. Got some coffee. Got some, looks like some lip balm over there and a couple other things left for you guys to stop by and pick that up. 720 Guardsman Way right outside of Roland Hall here. Stop by. Also got a couple other fans wandering by. Love to see you guys stop on by. More in a moment. This is your extended U pregame show right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.
Counting you down to kickoff, this is an extended edition of the Utah-Oregon pregame show, presented by the Utah FTW 360 app. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back to your extended U pregame show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Hatch here on Guardsman Way. I'd love for you guys to stop by 720 North Guardsman Way, right outside of Roland Hall. A number of Utah fans rolling by as they make their way up towards Rice-Eccles Stadium for the Utah-Oregon matchup. Alex Carey with me as well as we get closer and closer to actually kicking off the formal U pregame show with Christian Cox. I'll be coming up at the top of the hour. But Alex, you talk about the fact that you're not necessarily feeling as confident about Utah's chances of winning this football game. I have to say I'm in a similar circumstance because the question is, can Utah sustain the level of play that they had, especially down the stretch against USC? And that's kind of the big question mark coming into this matchup against what I think is a more cohesive Oregon team than what USC was a week ago.
Yeah, and you know, here's the other thing. Oregon, if they get a lead like USC had last week, I don't think they relinquish it, right?
I would agree, yeah.
That's a soft team. That's actually, you know, Caleb Williams taking multiple steps backward.
Sure.
Can you take a Heisman Trophy away from a guy, Jake, if they have a bad second year? I mean, I just asking for a friend.
Retroactively say, you know, that's hey, ours. Give it back, please.
We gave it to you last year, but that, you know what? Like, you had such a bad year this year, and you're such a baby. We're going to take it away from you. Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, I just think this Oregon team is like exactly what everybody maybe had in their head of what USC could have been.
Sure.
You know, and Washington's doing the same thing. That's why it's so insane in the pack this year, right?
Yeah.
To have such good teams at the top, and Utah's right there. I mean, why not? And I there's a little bit of me that goes, this entire program is just being held together by Kyle Whittingham. It's just like pure force. You know what I mean? Now, it takes a lot of other guys, right? And it takes guys like Sione Vaki, who you ask to do an X-factor thing to be able to have an X-factor, you know, type season, because you're 6-1 against every stinking odd, Jake. But
sure.
Teams like Oregon haven't been hit by that injury bug nearly as much. And you remember the game last year, both Bo Nix and later we found out, you know, Cam Rising – just was not 100%. I mean, that was his worst game maybe of his entire Utah career last year up at Oregon when he threw those three picks, and it was still a close game. The only hope that I think Utah has is keeping the scores low. You can't just bank on, yeah, we'll probably score 34 or 42 points against this Oregon team. I just think that the odds of that are pretty low considering what the history of this Utah offense
sure.
has been.
Yeah.
And I know that they've had 34 points the last 2 weeks, but one was against Cal, the other was against one of the worst defenses in the conference with USC.
Yeah.
And this is
apparently
not that.
Apparently USC doesn't want to watch film because they have their defensive coordinators, and they never saw a wheel route from Sione Vaki, and I still can't get
over
that.
Well, like, the bottom line, yeah. Now, Alex Grinch and USC, like, set the standard for, you know, Their boosters should be looking at those guys and going, we actually may have made a mistake with Lincoln Riley. I'm not kidding.
Well,
because
what
do you trust Lincoln Riley if he's going to keep Alex Grinch on staff? Like, and
correct.
Just and embarrass the program. When you had a Heisman Trophy winner this year and you just thought, well, by force, we're just going to win every game 50-45. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. But back to this Oregon team.
Yeah.
Bucky Irving is going to get 25 carries. They like to get the ball to him out of the backfield through the air as well. And I just have been so impressed with Bo Nix. I mean, I'm not like on the Bo Nix hype train, but I just think we all dogged him so much out of Auburn. We just assumed it wasn't going to happen. Who has had a turnaround like that, you know, transferring to a school after having very, very mixed results? You know, I guess Michael Penix Jr., he's the other version,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah.
Not that he was
–
I mean,
he
had a pretty decent run at Indiana before he got injured. I mean, people saw the potential there. But Bo Nix was Mr. Interception and Mr. – what do they call him? Bo Picks.
Bo Picks.
When he showed up to Oregon, they still called him that. And he had to just prove himself and say, hey, I'm going to do something a little bit different. So from that aspect, I just see Oregon coming out and being like, we're going to punch these guys in the mouth and we're going to go quick. And they got scored on early against Washington, and then they just clawed back into that thing. And they were actually the better team, it seemed like, that day, right?
Sure.
It felt like they were the better team in a lot of instances. But, you know, they fell short. I just think this is going to be such a good game. And the only reason that Utah stays in this thing is if they keep Oregon below 20 points. And then they maybe sneak by and get 24, you know what I mean? Like, that's where they got to be, I think. That type of score is where the Utah Utes are going to win this game.
Yeah, you have to play some keep away, obviously, and obviously you mentioned have some good fortune fall your
way. Dude, did anybody
well.
Show up with zone signs at game day? Did they kick them out?
I was told that we had at least one that somebody. I only got to see a snippet of game day. I was unfortunate. I was driving up here. I was getting ready for the broadcast.
I've seen these signs. I have to pee. That's a popular one. I've seen a couple of Bo Nix. My nephew rolled up, camped overnight, and he had a big one that showed up on the TV screen. Bo Nix sells solar. I don't know why that's a big disc, but okay. I guess
calling it a bro, essentially.
I know. That's well, exactly, I mean, it looks like it, right?
So we apparently there was one. So I was one of our listeners who stopped at the tailgate said that somebody, in terms of our contest that we were giving away, somebody had one that said, I need to get some more pie in me. It's obviously the reference to Hans Olsen
right.
and his famous pie incident. So at least I mean, I'm guessing there were some that showed up, hopefully, and hopefully we'll be able to give away some of that money because there's some big prizes. $250, five of those being handed out. So hopefully some showed up and get some screenshots and win
Let's
that
go.
Money.
Let's give away. Look, all right, we had so money Alex, to give away. Might as well do it.
Yeah. Before I let you go, give me your final prediction for today. What do you expect?
Yeah, I think I already went with one yesterday mm-hmm. on Football Friday with Nate Orchard.
Yeah.
And I probably got pressured into it because Nate was sitting right next to me. But I'm going to stick with it. I think that I'm going to go with the way that Utah does win the game. And it's with okay. that low type of score.
Sure.
And I think it needs to be like a 23. Let me do this. How about 23-20? Utes win.
All right.
And that's how they do it. If they do it, that's how they do it.
Keep it low, and obviously you find a way, as you mentioned. You kind of
Right. I mean, nobody wants this thing to get into a shootout because I just don't know if Utah has the same type of weapons, you know, mm-hmm. that Oregon does to be able to hang in and do that. But, yeah, let's go. And you know what you're going to see, too? You're going to see 40 carries between – Sione Vaki and Duquindon Jackson, right?
Sure,
You're going to see 40 carries. You're going to see 8 carries from Bryson, right? So you're going to see the ball on the ground a lot with Utah, and that's probably better that way. I don't think you want to just try to go out there and throw for 300 yards with Bryson Barnes.
Dominate line of scrimmage, control the time of possession, and take care of the football. It's the Kyle Whittingham like just model. That's the thing, and we'll see what happens. Well, dude. Alex, I know you got to get over to the Cougar pregame show, but appreciate you stopping by.
Hey, you do not sell solar, Jake. I just want to let you know.
Right? I try not to. Let's just put it that way. Christian
you're
not Cox
a
is smiling
you're not
as he's walking.
You're not
over
a
here.
Dude, bro. All right, I'm proud.
I appreciate
of you.
That.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
Alex,
you've tried to get me in your downline with other MLM
okay.
stuff.
Okay. Hey. We'll talk about that off air. Okay.
See you, Jake. You guys have fun.
Thanks, Alex. All right. Coming up next, we kick off the formal U pregame show. It's been a fun 3 hours so far. Got an hour and a half to go leading up to kickoff between the Utes and the Ducks. Christian Cox joins me next right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.